Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. We are back after the holidays. We are back after the glorious remembering of Christ. And we are back after bringing in a new year. We are so excited about 2018 because there is so much news that's going to happen this year. So much news about Christ. So much awesome, awesome revelation that's going to happen. You're going to see the Bible play out in ways that is going to be amazing as time rolls through day by day, week by week, and month by month. Great things are going to occur for you in your life in 2018. Because why? Because you're choosing to walk with him and not with the world news, not with all the junk news, not with all the bubblegum news, not with all the news that's really not even relevant to life, but it's the news that is relevant to life. And when I say life, I'm not talking about the minuscule of time of life that's here on earth, that's here with this little fleshly body that we have, this little shell that's going to dissipate in just a few short years. But I'm talking about your translucent spirit, because God is spirit. He made us after him, and he said he made us in his own likeness. We saw a glimpse of this in the Bible when Jesus returned to the Mount of Transfiguration. And when he was down there, his glorified body was there. Therefore, that's what we are going to become, and you're going to become if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. I am so excited about the opportunity to share the greatness of our Father in heaven, who loves you so much, who cares for you so much, and who wants to be with you forever and commune with you, walk with you, talk with you, get intimate with you about your daily life and the things that are going on in your world, and help rise you up to the greatness that he made you to be. That's what 2018 is going to bring for you, for us. And this is the breakout year for God News Network on a whole new level, because we're dedicated to sharing with you the truth about Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Nothing else matters. All the other stuff is just junk falling away. And I get to do that with you and with my great partner, and that is St. Albert from South Carolina. Hello there, St. Albert.
Hello, Rick. It's going to be a good year, Rick. You know, we got so many things in store and great truths. And Rick, you know, today we have something that is going to interest a lot of people, because there's a lot of talk about this. But you know, what happens in the body of Christ is what we were talking about, that you said it very well, is that the lack of knowledge of the saints. And we pay people to tell us about God instead of us ourselves listening to the Spirit and reading about him. And a lot of these people that we're paying, most of the stuff that they're giving us, Rick, is nonsense. It's man-made stuff that is not even in the Bible. It's a shame, because what happens is that this takes us off our rest, which is a commandment that Christ gives us. He says not to do like the Jews, or you know, that they didn't rest when they were in the desert, that we have to enter into this rest, and that's very important. So this right here, this teaching that we're going to have today, Rick, I think it's going to put a lot of people at peace. And they're going to understand a lot, because there's a lot of teaching out there, but the teaching is hearsay. And a lot of the hearsay is garbage say, because it's not true.
Well, let's get started with the origin of the Gnostics, because it's funny how Gnostics is pertaining to knowledge, possessing knowledge, especially esoteric knowledge of spiritual matters, and pertaining to characteristics of the Gnostics. It's a member of any certain sect among the early Christians, it says, who claim to have superior knowledge of spiritual matters and explain that the world as created by powers and agencies. This is where they are wrong. It's not just Christians. It's people who were labeled Christians.
That's right. Yeah. And let me make a little explanation there, because they did not, and anybody could do a Google search on this. I mean, this is out there. This knowledge is out there. You see, in the first century church, Rick, there was about 10 or so sects of Jewish Christians, so-called Christians, that were coming into the churches. And these people were people that were coming into the churches and saying Christ plus something, right? Mm-hmm. Christ plus circumcision. I mean, the first uniting of the Christian church with the Christian leaders, they were talking about putting laws on people already, putting laws on the Gentiles that didn't have those Mosaic laws. And of course, Paul, you know, because of the Spirit, the Spirit didn't want to have Paul with conflict with the leaders. So he said, yeah. But if you notice Paul, when he leaves out of there, he doesn't mention anything about those laws to anybody. What he mentions is the freedom of Christ to the people out there. And but unfortunately, this same people that book after book after book after book in the Bible has warned us about, people of the law, these are the Gnostic people. And these Gnostic people are really the people who are teaching them. Just about 90% of the church right now is teaching Gnosticism. Now, what they tell you is that Gnosticism is somebody who claims that has no sin. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. Listen, Rick, all the way down from Adam and Eve, the knowledge of sin came to the world, to everybody, even an infant. Even an infant that's 3 years old or 2 years old, you see him doing something bad and he knows that he's doing something bad. He will give you the smile and you could see in his attitude that he knows that he has something bad. Now, there might be two or three dummies in the world that will claim to you that they have no sin outside of Christ, but they know that they're imperfect. I have met even people who don't believe in God that know the difference between right and wrong, and they will tell you, because that has been planted in us from Adam. So this thing about 1 John 1:9 and all the letters about Gnostics, yes, if you want to call them Gnostics, but that word Gnosticism didn't even exist in the Bible. It doesn't exist in the Bible. That word Gnosticism came in the 1500s. And there are good chances that it came in through the Catholic Church, through the monks in the Catholic Church, because it came in the Vulgate Bible, the Latin Vulgate Bible. And that was a job that the church was doing at that time.
So, this was around the 1555, 1565 area, right?
Yeah, Rick.
So knowledge itself, what kind of knowledge? I mean, you've got people seeking knowledge all the time. You know, there's different types of knowledge that they want to do. There's all kinds of secret societies that say they have secret knowledge that gives them power. Things like that. They're seeking the knowledge for the purpose of having power. What's the deal with that? How does that play into all this?
Well, Rick, you know, the Bible warns us that in the last days, everything is going to be said through the Son, Jesus Christ, and everything is going to be done through the finished work of Christ. So anything that's outside of Christ's finished work on the cross is that extra knowledge. We have a knowledge that you're going to need because, you know, really Christ, and I'm gonna start saying a couple of things to churches out there, the double talk that they do, really Christ, you know, yeah, he finished the job, but there's something that has been left over. You know, 1 John 1:9, you have to confess your sins in order for your sins to be forgiven. You see, that's a special knowledge. Well, I thought that Jesus Christ did away with sin. Then he died on the cross for the sins of humanity. So if he died on the cross and I came to Christ and he cleansed me of all sins, what is his secret knowledge about me now having a confession of sins? Or like some other churches, I will come in and say, man, yeah, Jesus Christ died for your sins. But man, we got this knowledge now that you got to get baptized. You see, and baptized erases some of those other sins. And then there's some other churches that will come and say, well, you know, it's not just baptism, but you got to do penance. You know, yeah, Jesus Christ died for the sins, but you see, that sins that he died for were past sins. But this newer sins that you got, we have a secret knowledge now that what you have to do is you have to do some kind of payments. And usually those payments don't even go with the law, the Mosaic law, because the Mosaic law states that when you do a sin, it's your head off. You're done with. You're dead because the penalty for sin is death. It's not penance. It's not burning your house or taking your car away or stuff like that. The penalty for sin, as they want to call it in the covenant, in the old covenant, is death. That's the penalty for sin. But thank God for Jesus Christ because he came and with his body, he died to sin. So, and there's other things but it's easy to tell a Gnostic, what they want to call it, a Gnostic teaching, and 90% of the churches are teaching all these Gnostic things, because it's Jesus Christ plus something. Here's another one that's it's out there in just about 90% of the churches is, well, you see, when you came to Christ, you came and you're a son, but you know, now you got this progress that you got to follow. We call it sanctification. See, the Bible doesn't call that progress sanctification. They call it sanctification. The Bible says sanctification, all it means is to be set apart. And the day that you came to Christ, you were set apart. But they call this growth sanctification. So it's another thing apart from the cross that you have to work your way out there or you got to be good, and every day they got to see something better in you and better in you, and they put that as a standard so they could see your progress, that the Spirit is really working in you.
As a matter of fact, I believe if you ask most pastors today, can you be sanctified while you're still in the body? And they will say, no, you can't be sanctified until you get your new body. They don't realize the word sanctification is the same word for justification. And righteousness is, a lot of them can get their head around righteousness, but if you understand righteousness, how can you be righteous and not be sanctified? How can you be righteous and not justified? Because righteousness is complete right standing with God. Well, how can you be in complete right standing with God, metanoeo, where you have changed your thinking, you've changed your thinking because you have accepted Christ. So complete right standing with God can only happen as if you're justified and sanctified at the same time. That's right. And that happens only from the one event that we did nothing about. It was something that he did.
That's right. And he also talks, Rick, about you being clean. How can you be clean if you're still dirty? You see? And how can Christ live in you if you have still sin in you? You know, it's the double talk of the devil. And it's Christ always plus something. When you hear that plus, run away from it, because that's what it is.
Is the okay. And that brings up to me that if they're adding something to the gospel, they're adding something to the gospel of Christ. Why? Why are they adding something else to the gospel of Christ? What are some potential reasons that you can see they're adding something else to the gospel of Christ?
Well, the first thing that I could think of is their knowledge. They're little kids. We have little kids teaching out there. And those little kids have been taught by worldly schools, so-called, schools of, they become pastors out of those schools and all that. And most of the teachings in there are worldly teachings, traditions, as you want to call them. The Bible calls them traditions of man. And that's what they're taught. They're taught traditions of man. Another thing is control. Because if you have to confess your sins all the time, or you have to go do penance or anything like that, all that goes through the church, you see? So it's a control of you. And if they could control you both physically, that you have to go through them, so they could give you an understanding of what you did wrong and all kinds of stuff like that. But they control you mentally too, because you become unstable. You become an unstable Christian.
Well, let's go to the first one, that they are taught by men. If you're a pastor and you're out there and you're relying on the teaching you learned from another man, what does that say? Are you reading your Bible? Are you studying what the Word of God says? Or are you just going by your teaching while you're in school and you still come away with the fact that you can't be sanctified while you're here in the body? Sanctification, justification, righteousness, all points from a root. It comes from a root. Those are branches that occur. That's the fruit that occurs from the root, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you agree?
Yeah, Rick. I mean,
okay. So then we've got these guys saying, well, we don't know. Then why aren't you getting your knowledge from the Word of God? Why are you not getting your knowledge from what the Word of God says, what the Bible says? Why are you not studying what God said through the apostles? Why are you not studying that? Because that is pretty clear to me where you get your righteousness. And we go back to Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in what? In what? For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So in it, the gospel of Christ, in it, for in it is the righteousness of God, which is revealed from faith to faith. That is written, the just shall live by faith. What is that from? Habakkuk 2:4. So the just shall live by faith because of the gospel. And if we go on to the next chapter here, and we go to Romans chapter, or actually we're going to skip a chapter. We're going to go to Romans chapter 3, and if we bump down here, it even tells us very clearly, but now a righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith, and this word actually of here, through faith of Christ to all and on all who believe. And again, this came from the actual text omits "and on all." So it's just through faith of Jesus Christ to all who believe, for there is no difference.
Yeah. And this book, Romans, of course, we all know, you know, it's a book of Paul writing to the Roman church. But let's go to 10. Chapter 10, 4, 2 to 4 for a second right there in Romans.
Romans chapter 10?
Yeah.
All right, we can do that. We're going to go to chapter 10 in Romans and 2 through 4. it says, for I bear witness, or I bear them witness, that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God.
You know, that's the biggest problem of the church right now. And that's what they're teaching. When they're teaching about all this stuff about forgiveness and right standing with God. And I mean, all the stuff that we have been talking about right now, sanctification and all that, really what they're saying is you better get your act together. In other words, self-righteousness. And it's a knowledge that is apart from Christ. It's not the cross.
And what self-righteousness is all rooted in the law.
Yeah, all rooted in the law. And we started here in Romans, and we're going to go, Rick, as like we were talking about, we're going to go through a lot of letters here in the New Testament. But just so the audience could understand this, that all the letters in the New Covenant, maybe there's a couple paragraphs here that don't have to deal with it, but all the letters have to deal with this self-righteousness. First century church, Jewish people coming in and teaching a mixture of law and grace. And this is what we have today in just about 99% of the churches. Now, you might say, well, God, in that time, you know, what was the problem in that time, you know, with this teaching of law and grace? And it's a dangerous teaching, because you will think that only the Jews knew about sacrificing, but the Jews were not the only ones who sacrificed. The Gentiles sacrificed too. People forget that the Gentiles had temples all over the place. In fact, some of those temples, you still see them. You go to Mexico and you see those temples with the Aztec temples. You go to Egypt and you still see those temples. You see temples all over the place, and those temples were for gods. And they sacrificed for sins. They didn't sacrifice for nothing. The sacrifices that were made by the Gentiles were for sins. The only thing is that they were sacrificing to other gods. So now here comes a Jew and he says, yeah, you know what, Gentiles? The problem that you have wasn't that you were doing the sacrifices. The problem that you have is that you were doing the sacrifices to the wrong God. You see, we're going to teach you here this secret here, that the secret is that you got to go and make yourself self-righteous to the God of Abraham. That's the little secret. Yeah, but what about Christ? Yeah. We know about Christ, and we know that he died and all this stuff. Some of us, in fact, some of us, the group of the Jews, we think that he was a teacher. But some of the other ones, well, we think that it was God. But you see, he didn't really do what you guys think that he did. He did not finish it. You have to finish it. And that's a dangerous teaching. And
there's
teaching is here at the churches.
There's a very famous Jewish teacher, right, just died not too long ago, Yitzchak. And he died over 100 years old. And he wrote down a vision. He was visited by God. And in this, he wrote it all down and sealed it up. And he told all the other priests, the Jewish priests over there in Israel, this is just recent, this is not too long ago, that you can't open this until a year after I am gone. So they opened it up a year later in anticipation, because he was the most respected Jewish priest of all time over there. And everybody's just looking forward to this Yitzchak's thing, because he said during his vision, he told him, he said, I know who the Messiah is. And he wrote it down. They couldn't open it for a year. So you can imagine the anticipation of all this, right? So what happened was they finally got together and they opened it up, and they read the name. And he also wrote down a few other things that occurred, but they read the name of who he was told the Messiah was from God himself. Hmm. It was Yeshua HaMashiach, Christ. They said he must have been in a poor mental state, to write that name down, that it couldn't have been him. And so they didn't give it any publicity at all, and said he must have been nuts, kind of out of his mind, to paraphrase, right? God is doing something right now. He's doing stuff that's changing what's going on. But you're right. Let's get to some of the other letters because we got less than five minutes here.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, 4 to 11.
Here we go. We have chapter 3. For when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
This is a warning to people, you know, following all these pastors and all that and not reading yourselves the Bible. And that's a warning, because we're led by the Spirit and we're led by the Word of God. And anybody, all these letters are telling you that anything that's outside of Christ, be careful, because it's not the gospel. It's another gospel. And all these letters, and then you could go in Philippians, Colossians, you could go through all the letters, James, all the letters in the gospel, in the Bible, have to do with these people. And it's very dangerous, because we're right now in a situation that we're back again in the times of Noah. And most people think that the times of Noah were terrible things. And yeah, they were terrible. You know what was so terrible at the times of Noah? The same thing that was terrible at the times when they were building the Tower of Babel. You know what it was? It was religious self-righteousness. Noah was a teacher of righteousness. Righteousness does not come from the law. It comes from Christ. So be careful.
Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. And if we go on to Galatians chapter 3, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was so clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And those who are under the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's another warning.
No, those are serious warnings.
Corinthians, back to here. According to the gospel of grace, which was God given me as wise master builder, I laid the foundation. This is this warning that we just read. For no other foundation can be laid other than that which is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if we take a look here real quick over to 1 John 1:5, it says, this is a message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness in God. He is light. So if you're in darkness right now because you've been trying to justify things by your flesh, by your ability, by your works, you have hope because he is the light. Not only is he light, but in this, the love of God was manifested toward us that the God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might have and we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we all ought to love one another. Mm-hmm.
Rick, just one more, just for those folks that say, well, you know, he's talking about ceremonial laws, but he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3,
all right.
3 to 14.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians. It says, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God on tablets of stone, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter of the Spirit, not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away. Isn't that amazing? Your veil can be taken away in Christ as well. How do you do it? You know, there's a lot of wisdom in humility. Coming to the place where you go, I can't do it. I'm guilty. When you get there, now, and only then, are you ready to receive Jesus in your heart and submit your will to him so your will no longer exists, but his will through you exists. If you want to do that, now's the time. Repeat after me. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I know I can't do it without you. I know you sent your son to die on the cross for me, and I receive your son, whom you sent to die for me on the cross. I receive him as my Lord and my Savior, and I give you all honor and all glory and all praise. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now you're walking with him. You're talking with him. You are with him each and every day. If you don't know where to go next, it's okay. Come here to God News Network, and we will lead you through the Word, not through us, but through the Word, and let you see for yourself that you are loved by God himself. It tells us in 4 think we're in New King James Version here. Yeah, here we are, 1 John chapter 4. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You're there now. You've accepted Christ. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We thank you for joining us here in this awesome, beautiful spirit that we're in now together. And we want you to remember that you are loved at the highest possible levels and never forget. It's time. The saints